Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello everybody, Happy New Year! The year is 2021, and it's the year of new hope. And a whole new, magnificent sim racing show for you here on RSL. 8pm, RS1 is your home for sim racing news. I'm Matt Hunter, joining me, as ever, it's Mr. Jordan Rose. I nearly said Lewis Saturday, and I don't know why.
How dare you? Come on, man.
How long have we been doing this?
We were going to start the new year off without insulting her.
Yeah. It's Mr. Jordan Rose from the comfort of his brand new sim rig, I'm guessing.
Yes. Basically because it's the only seat in my room now, but it's a good excuse.
Epic. Some of us are still making do with a dining room chair after however many years we've been doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations, you have found Simcast. There. Said it. Got it right. Didn't say the T word.
We're not saying the other thing.
No.
Yep.
Neither T word, actually, after yesterday's magnificent events.
No. The show may have changed, but the tangents remain. The tangerine, however, does not. No.
Tangerine does not.
Quickly, let's move on before
it's
we
start. It's funny because I have a glass of Iron Brew next to me. freshly squeezed Donald.
No.
Oh dear, some things never change. The more things change, the more they stay the same. It may be a name change, but God knows we're still going to be talking nonsense for an at least 2 hours then. That would have scared you, wouldn't it, dear listener?
2 hours? I haven't got enough here.
Oh dear, is it really
need some of that iron brew.
Is it really nearly the end of January already?
Yeah, that kind of snuck up on us. That's scary. I didn't even realise. It's almost been a month since we last did a show.
It has.
Actually, it has been a roughly a month, hasn't it?
The Christmas show, yeah. Was our last one, which was epic.
That was great.
Epic. Thank you again to Chris Dawes and Adrian Michael Reese for joining us for that one. If you want to listen to it on demand, of course, you can go to RadioLeMond.com, the Simcast section under eSports, and listen to the back catalogue of shows. Oh, where do we begin? It's been a bit of a funny winter, hasn't it, for sim racing? Because I think, much like real motorsport, nothing really kind of happens.
No, it's really just kind of been, you know, pre-announcements and gearing up for things to come.
Get to February
more than any actual concrete news.
Yeah, get to February and all the sim racing titles start releasing their new liveries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we have some news today. Have
well played, great job. Do you want to have another go at
it's
that?
It's been a long month already. Hey, I say, Jordan, what sim racing news do we have today?
Well, we're not doing that every week.
No, we're not.
Well, why don't we start off with some of the news from... I think this was... This counts as December news. Kind of came in just before the end of the year of Automobilista 2. Yes, it's a new show. Yes, we still struggle to say that name, evidently.
AMS 2, even I can do it. God, what's your problem, man?
So AMS 2 has continued to receive more and more content. I believe the last word we said about AMS 2 back in December was about the upcoming release of Spa, which has been very much looked forward to by the community. That has now released, as has GT1, which, do you know what? I know this has been out for like 20 days now or something. I still haven't given it a go, and I need to, because GT1 is just one of those series that is bloody brilliant on a sim.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely love GT1. I think that's the thing. We're already going off on a slight tangent. One of my favourite things about sim racing is being able to do things that you can't in real life. GT1 doesn't exist anymore, but we can drive in a sim. So that's fantastic. And, of course, AMS2, it's a very pretty game, and they look very, very pretty indeed, as you would imagine. I'm trying to look to see if there are any funny bug fixes. But they actually all appear quite sensible.
You could basically run your own BPR series now. Because you've got the almost. But you've got the McLaren, you've got the Mercedes, and you've got the Porsche being added, which is pretty much all you need.
Yeah, that's all the major ones. You'll forgive me, I was kind barely of not born at the time. But so you'd have to forgive me if I'm omitting anything here, but those are the Mercedes in particular and the McLaren are the ones that I think of when it comes to GT1. They are just superb cars.
Which is funny, because I do think of the Porsche. The Porsche in its Mobile 1, its famous Mobile 1 livery from 98 is somewhat of an iconic one. Which, of course, Porsche re-ran at Road Atlanta a couple of years ago. I have that car behind me.
Oh, really? You've managed to fit it in the Mat Cave?
Very funny. Not the actual thing, model. Sink. I was eyeing up a 1 in 8? 1 in 8 or 1 in 6 scale Mercedes F1 car. From this year. Lewis Hamilton's car.
Is that simply because it's one of the more beautiful of the modern Formula One cars?
Yes, not because of the driver or the team or anything specific. If they had a McLaren, it's one, just I'd have had the McLaren car. It is a gorgeous car, especially in black. Anyway, I very much like the idea of this of this car. Apart from the fact that because it's a 1 in 6, it is utterly huge.
What are the dimensions of that? It must take up like my it would probably fit quite comfortably in this room if I removed the rig.
Probably. Yes, it's made by Amalgam, which do all the really huge.
Don't think how much it costs.
Scale cars. Well, they do. I'm trying to find it, as you can probably tell from the fact I'm padding. They do a couple of different ones. The one I was specifically looking at, I think, is a bit bigger. It's than 1 in 6, but they do. Hang on a minute, he found it then. They do a 1 in 8 scale one as well.
Oh yeah, I can see the 1 in 8 one.
Which is, there's no two ways about saying it, £6,500.
Holy mother! Or 4 interest-free installments of £1,500. Yeah. What's a bargain!
But they do a bigger one than that, which is the one I'm trying to find, but I can't find it right now. Sod's law. That is. And there really is no other way of saying this. £69,000.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah.
Good lord. That is
if I won the lottery, quite insane. If I won the lottery, I probably would.
Oh, they do 1-in-1 steering wheels. We are hideously off topic already.
We are a little bit. But, but you know, it wouldn't be us if we didn't do that.
No.
But I suffice to say, I'm a very big fan of. We were talking about GT1, weren't we?
GT1.
I was a big fan of GT1. I didn't actually, funnily enough, it was a little bit before my time in terms of actually attending races.
Wow, that means GT1 must be old.
No, it just meant I hadn't ventured to. I didn't go to any other circuit other than Thruxton until 2004, 5.
Thruxton, there's not much. Thruxton's fantastic. So you could survive off of Fruxton for a while.
Yeah, as a kid, when you haven't got too much imagination, every car going by is, wow, wow, wow. But then you get a little older, like, and jaded like me, and you're like, yeah, I want a better view, please. These burgers aren't up to snuff.
That's why you go to Snetterton or Brands Hatch, the best tracks in the UK for visibility.
True. I've heard good things about Alton Park, but I haven't obviously been there.
Alton Park, in terms of like look and just it's the most beautiful racetrack in my opinion, Alton Park. But in terms of like being able to see most of the circuit, Snetterton or Brands.
Oh yeah, Snetterton's great. Amazing. I love Snetterton.
I love Snetterton, and but I will be biased towards Snetterton, obviously.
Like, that's because you're basically there.
Oh, it's so great. Even if I try and remove the bias, like I still think it's one of the best racetracks. It's in my top two in the UK. Not in the world, because obviously, you know, my favourite track in the world is the Nordschleife.
So AMS2's brought GT1 to the sim and Spa, although interestingly the pictures that it's used are most definitely Imola.
Yeah.
we'll just gloss over that, though. Except for the bottom one, that's not Imola, but that's not Spa either, I don't think.
I think that is Imola, actually. I think that's down at the hairpin.
Oh, yeah, it could be. So well done, AMS2. You've launched two amazing things. You've got 50% of the content sharing in your footage. So well done. On to the
and of
next.
Course, there's loads more historical stuff coming this year as well. I'm still eagerly looking forward to the classic Nordschleife that they're bringing out in a couple of months. So
oh, that'd be cool. No, that actually will be cool.
AMS2 continues to be the best place in sim for historic content.
I just realised. Well, yeah, semi-official because of all the grounds of the fact that I think of the modding that's going on in Assetto Corsa still. Mm. And I've just realised I still haven't driven that TT course yet.
Oh, yeah. For,
the massive
for,
one that we talked about. I
was
downloaded
it for R-Factor?
No, it's on AC as well.
Oh, and AC. Oh, yes, I forgot. Yeah, the same guy brought it to there, didn't he?
He did. Yes, but still stands out as the best change log.
I was going to say, were you holding out and driving it until they got rid of that hole somewhere? Or
I want to drive around and find it.
Well, it's not going to be there now. Cause...
Just reverse it to an earlier state so I can find it.
I want to find the hole.
Dear sir, I was deeply perplexed to discover a hole in the circuit as I passed by at 180 miles an hour.
Speaking of being deeply perplexed, listeners may remember
common state
probably about a year ago now when we first spoke about GTR3.
Yes.
Now, again, you'll have to forgive me. I never really played the GTR2 games. Well, actually, I think I played it once on my dad's computer that was under the stairs. but yeah, GTR3 was meant to be arriving at some point, and then all of a sudden there was no news for about a year, absolutely nothing. Well now Simbin UK have come out and given us a little bit of hope about it, actually. I believe all it was a tweet just before the new year saying that they were launching GTR3's official Discord. That's it. That's all the news that they've had. But you might have thought, because the last thing we saw before that was some very beautiful screenshots of the game. Mm. I believe one was in the wet at the Nürburgring, and it looked absolutely stunning. You would have thought they might keep us a little bit more on the loop, but yeah, it is still happening.
Can't have a WEC license like they announced, though, because, well, they could, but
it'd be a bit pointless.
It'd be a bit pointless now. What with all the classes. Not all the classes, but a lot of classes changing.
It'll be really interesting to see how that game compares to something like ACC. Because they are quite similar? GTR3 is going for that same kind of thing.
Arguably, ACC is the natural follow-on from. Because GTR and GTR2 was the official game of the FIA GT Championship. as was. And Assetto Corsa Competizione is the official game of what that series became.
Oh, I never realised that was what it merged into. I never actually realised that. It shows my knowledge on GT racing.
Yeah, so you started off with the GT1 FIA GT1 Championship, then it became the FIA GT World Championship with slightly modified GT1s, and then it became Blancpain with GT3s. Because they gradually introduced the SRO being SRO, they gradually introduced the new classes in. Like one after the other, so I was at the first ever race with GT3s, and I was at the first ever race with GT4s. They had a Donkervoort. It was brilliant.
A Donkervoort, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. The best manufacturer name.
One of them. Gumpert is quite
I was going to say.
And oh, Koenigsegg, just because it makes the absolute best password.
And it's the best Scrabble answer.
Very true.
I think. I don't know whether you could even fit it. I haven't played Scrabble in a while, so I don't even know if it would be legal.
Actually, because you need a number for a password. Don't you? You just have to be Koenigsegg 1.
1.
For your password. But if you can spell Koenigsegg without thinking about it, you're a very impressive person.
Very impressive, or you work for Koenigsegg.
Even then, I bet Christian Koenigsegg? I think it is Christian Koenigsegg. Actually, no, he probably can spell his own name, can't he?
I would have hated to have been him in an exam.
If he has to ring up, no, because if he has to ring up like his online banking or something, oh, could you spell that? No.
That's one hefty phone bill. Yeah. Just by spelling the name.
Can you spell Christian Koenigsegg? No. I'm not going to start now. Should we move on? Because we're doing this again.
Yes, we should. Again. Yes, hopefully it's not too long until we hear a little bit more about GTR3.
I really hope so. I can see that they've probably what they've done. Because I think when the plans for that came out, they were probably aiming for what is now last gen.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense for them to aim for next gen consoles. But PC,
yeah, absolutely.
PC they could have pressed on with, but I'm sure they know what they're doing, the good people at Simbin.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope it's not too long until we get that. One thing that we have waited a little while to have is Brands Hatch in Race Room. Now, you might be thinking, but I've driven Brands Hatch in Race Room. Yes, the indie version of Brands Hatch has been out on the sim for a while now, but I'm just having to check when this was announced. Probably around the new year, because everything seemed to be... Oh, yeah, it was available on Boxing Day. Race Room brought out the GP layout for Brands Hatch and updated the rest of the circuit for the current visuals, the 2020 livery specification, they call it. Yeah. So, yeah, as we were just talking about with great British racetracks, Brands GP is undeniably one of the best in terms of just driving experience. So now for £4.53, you can drive it on Race Room.
Yeah, and I have that. It's a very good iteration of it.
It is.
I am a little grumpy insofar as you, like with every other title where you have to buy the track if it's not standard in game already. That it's not a combined thing, because effectively you have to buy the Indy circuit and buy the Grand Prix circuit, which is a bit cheeky, but...
Yeah, I think what they've done is they've... Because the Indy configuration is only £2.71. I think if you combined the price of the two, there are some tracks on the sim that cost that combined price.
Oh, fair enough.
So I think what they might have done is split it up that way. But yeah, I feel like it would have been nice to lump it in with...
Well, it's
those
like,
who had already bought the,
well, it's
the
like
Indy
you think
circuit.
When iRacing did their Rallycross update, anyone who had Brands Hatch got the Rallycross circuit.
Yeah, just got it straight away. Yeah. So yeah, it would be nice to do that. But then I guess iRacing stuff does cost more, so it's more of an incentive for them to throw it in with that price already.
You get your choices.
Yeah, whereas Race Room, because they cost... I mean, it's £4.53. Like, I'm still amazed with Race Room's pricing model, because their tracks there isn't a quality difference, a massive quality difference between Race Room and iRacing.
No.
And yet they charge so much less for it. And that's why if I'm ever speaking to somebody who's making the jump to PC sim racing, Race Room is a title that I recommend to them.
Yeah.
Purely because there's so much of it that's for free. Let's not forget that Race Room itself is for free, and you get a hell of a lot of really good content for free. And then it's only a couple of quid to add a couple of tracks, a couple of cars, and
well I think their ultimate
great.
Their ultimate pack, which includes every car pack and every track that they've released up until the point where you buy it, is 90 quid. Everything.
And that's about 5 iRacing tracks or something
yeah.
like that.
Well, yeah, give or take. It is impressive. And to be fair, yeah. the type of content that you get on there is so broad, it's kind of hard not to want to get that, really.
Absolutely. And when you consider some of the tracks that are on there, like Macau, which are seldom in any other sim.
They've got loads of... There's, you've got Lausitz Ring, you've got all the sort of DTM circuits Aragon. On there that you don't really get. Assen's on there, so you don't really get that on... Like you said, yeah, Motorpark Aragon's on there.
Aragon was a track that I... Because I'm not really a bike person, I don't really watch MotoGP. I didn't really know anything about Aragon. It is a stunning racetrack. I absolutely adore it. I'm so glad I got that.
It's where... The only time I've... I think I've seen WTCR on there, but I think the only other time I've ever seen anything like Big and Powerful on there was when Porsche was doing their 911 Media Day... 919 Media Day thing. They got, you know, the guys, you know, people like Chris Harris.
To come
And
that was
Michael
there,
Fassbender
wasn't it?
To come and drive the prototype. That was at Aragon. I think a lot of teams actually have started using Aragon as a testing facility because it's quite a diverse and interesting circuit. And of course you've got, I can't remember the one in, you've got like the Russian, like Moscow Park or Moscow Raceway?
Moscow Raceway, that's it.
Again, some of the sort of rarer circuits that TCR have been to. I think, I imagine PAL's probably in there.
DTM as well.
PAL, sorry.
They've gone to Moscow.
Yes. Yeah, so there's some...
Oh, and of course the DTM series as well. DTM isn't really in anything else.
Not anymore.
Or what was DTM anyway.
No, and not since the last... Go on, Bennett. I think the last official game I remember that being was probably Race Driver 3.
Yeah, you're probably right. I played that the other day on an emulator. That was nostalgic.
Race Driver 3, I maintain, was the best one because it had British GT in it. It had... DTM, V8 supercars, all sorts of different bits and bobs.
Do you want to feel old?
Go on.
That was my second racing game.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
Let's move on before Matt has an existential crisis.
It's all right. We were both watching Jimmy Broadbent do F1 97 the other day, weren't we?
That's a cracking game still. Yeah, I still think there should be an option. Yeah, it was when that came out. Jeez.
I had a massive CRT television in my bedroom. I used to play that.
I would love to see, with F1 2021, them introduce a mode where they have Murray Walker commentating over it. Not David Croft, but Murray Walker, absolutely. Yeah. The bit where he just reads off the gears as you shift.
Yeah. That was a sizable nostalgia hit, that was. I very much enjoyed that a lot. It's and then of course Jimmy had the not in that stream but in another stream had the audacity to show off your bloody race rig. Are you secretly friends with him and you haven't told us?
I've only raced him once or twice. That was a bit weird. That was the day I got the rig set up. For those of you who may not have seen, I finally got a sim racing rig. After many years, and it's fantastic. But yeah, the day I set it up, I was doing some laps and I was watching Jimmy on the side, and then all of a sudden I hear, oh, Jordan's got a rig, and I'm like, who the hell is in my room? Very weird.
All of his viewers
got to see my stolen Caterham 7 grill that I've got mounted on the wall.
He was deeply envious of your space as well, I think, was
yes. Yes.
Bless him.
Although he is moving into a house soon, so that's
a better than awesome. A shed, I suppose.
Yeah. I think you should take the shed with him. Mm.
Jimmy, we still want you to come on the show sometime.
Yes.
Because it's your fault that we've had suddenly Jordan for the last 3 months.
We need to bribe him. We need to bribe him. We have an idea about the bribing, don't we? But I'm not sure whether we should go into that.
Not here, not now. A shed extension.
In the meantime, maybe we should talk about sort of esport racing news, but not esport racing news. We, as I mentioned last week on Midweek Motorsport, we are going to be dedicating a bit more of the show toward covering the esports racing series, because there were so many of them last year. I don't know whether or not to class this as one of those. what do you reckon? Not. I don't think so.
No.
Basically, McLaren have launched a celebrity esports racing series. It's in association with their sponsor Velo, which I believe are a vape company. So it's an 18 plus thing, and like the all of the coverage of this series is all 18 plus, and yeah, it's a bit strange.
I've got to be careful because I know quite a few people who vape, but
maybe it's best that we just don't carry that on.
You can't tell on radio, but I'm rolling my eyes so much they're about to fall out of their sockets.
Well, we'll roll your eyes a little bit more. So essentially this series is over several installments, there will be celebrity racers taking each other on in a head-to-head virtual competition. So far, the only part of this competition I've seen is a sort of pre-competition where the two participants, who are Craig David and Supercar Blondie...
I've heard of her.
I haven't really, but I'm not really into... I'm more into race cars rather than supercars, so... Yeah. That
weirdly, I have heard of her. I've heard of Craig David.
Good.
I've also seen him live.
I'm actually pretty jealous. I do like a bit of Craig David every now and again.
It's part of a melange of pop star artists, but he was one of them.
So
a lot of people stayed to hear him, as opposed to when GLC came on and half the people picking off to get food.
Good lord. So yes, so
Newport's
far
great, all... Newport's greatest export, GLC, nothing else.
Is that it? Oh, good lord!
They're not welcome in Cardiff.
Let's move on. So far all we've seen is Supercar Blondie and Craig David going head to head on the reaction time thing. You know, the thing where you have to hit the buttons that light up.
I was going to say Baku, but it's not Baku, is it? It's something like that, though.
Oh, it is, isn't it? I can't remember. It'll come to me, late at night.
If you text me at 2 o'clock in the morning and go, I remember what it was.
I probably will as well. You know I will.
Yeah, you actually will.
The actual head-to-head portion of this that I'm not sure actually what entails, I don't know whether McLaren will actually have them on their simulator or something. That would be rather hilarious. That will take place on February 6th, I believe. I just read it and now I can't find it. Yeah, February 6th. And you'll be able to catch that on Velo's YouTube channel if you wish to watch it.
Oh, Rory Reed's hosting it. That's cool.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing about it.
I feel sorry for Chris Harris now because he's surrounded by Northerners. Not that there's anything wrong with Northerners, but it does mean that I have to watch Top Gear with subtitles on.
I was going to say, Matt's opinion of Northerners are solely his own and do not represent that of the wider Simcast group, nor RSL.
No.
Yeah.
The thing is, again, I keep having to tell you this, it's okay because I have family in Barnsley. If I have family in Barnsley, it's all right for me to make fun of them.
If you say so.
I do say so.
Good lord. shall we move on to the what I'm affectionately calling the Simcast Esports Roundup?
Can I quickly just chuck in news-wise two very quick little things?
Go for it.
The new Corvette has come to Forza Horizon.
Oh yes, it has. Yes, the road-going version.
The road-going version. Yeah.
It wouldn't sort of surprise me if they added the race car version to Horizon, because you know.
Suffice to say, yeah, it's not that happened. And also, modding group URD have teased that they are working on the M4 GT3 as well, which will be coming to Assetto Corsa and R Factor at some point. And they've also said that the Aston Martin, the now defunct Aston Martin DTM car, is coming to Assetto Corsa and R Factor soon as well.
I just remember you've reminded me of something I forgot, because it's been like a month since our last show.
Yes.
The VRC group, the Virtual Race Cars group, brought their fantastic IndyCar mod from Assetto Corsa over to R Factor 2.
Oh, that's cool.
I completely forgot. I actually drove that like Boxing Day or something like that, or whenever it came out. And it is, I would say it's better in R Factor 2 than it is in Assetto Corsa. That might be because my view is clouded by the fact that Racing Studio have an Assetto Corsa IndyCar, and that is better. But yeah, it's, I would very much recommend that. It's only, I believe they're only charging a couple of pounds for it, but there are a host of IndyCar tracks available for R Factor 2 as well, including their fantastic Portland, which is fantastic. Portland needs to be in more Sims. Portland is a great track. So yeah, if you're an IndyCar fan and you have R Factor 2, come and get it. Go and get it.
There must be a mod in Assetto Corsa for Portland. Must be.
Yes, I do have that. It's not quite as good as the, because the R Factor 2 version was made by the developer of the game rather than actually a person created mod. I don't know where the, because I believe that the Portland version for Assetto Corsa is a conversion from another game. I don't know which, but it's most of the conversions you get for these games are good, but a little bit lacking compared to the ones that have been given, you know, the full works by developers or scratch built. So
it's a dev job.
Yes. Yeah.
That is fair. 100%. Anyway, sorry, you wanted to talk about esports, didn't you?
Yes, esports. So, yes, although it's only January, we have had a major esports championship begin. And not only that, they've had two rounds by now in the time that we took off. I believe that the Porsche Esports Super Cup series was brought forward. I don't think it was meant to be starting for another couple of weeks or months, but they decided to bring it forward. And they've had their first two rounds at, or their first two rounds and four races, I should say, at Interlagos and Barcelona. So in addition to the normal races, like we saw last year with the Porsche Esports Super Cup, they do have a support series race now with the All-Star Race, which is a support race featuring sim racing influencers, you know, the usual suspects like Jimmy Broadbent, Jardier, et cetera, et cetera. Just to quickly, very quickly mention the results of those races. Interlagos, Porsche's works driver, Matt Campbell, guested in the series and unsurprisingly won the first race, with Emily Jones winning the reverse grid second race. And then at Catalunya, it was Matt Campbell who won race one again. And this time it would be Quick Gabby who would go on to win the second race, which was the reverse grid, after a race-long battle with Broadbent. As for the main races, this year there's been a bit of a change for the Porsche Esports Super Cup. One of their more confusing rules last year was regarding qualifying, whereby you would qualify and then the qualifying top eight would be immediately inverted for the first race.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't understand why that was a thing. It didn't really make sense, because it basically just encouraged some people to sandbag so that they would be starting further ahead for the race. Now it's the more traditional thing whereby qualifying dictates the grid order for race one, and then they invert the top eight for race two. The first race being shorter and the second race being longer and awarding more points. In Interlagos, the 2019 champion, Josh Rogers, qualified on pole and dominated the race. I say he dominated the race. He led the whole thing, but it was only half a second between him and the other two podium finishers, Dane Warren and Tommy Ostgaard. The reigning champion, you might remember last year, the series was won by Sebastian Jobe. He only finished down in 12th for the first race. Second race, Alejandro Sanchez got the reverse grid pole. Josh Rogers obviously was starting down in 8th after having won the race. The first race, he made his way back up to third and then managed to get involved in an incident that saw him fall down to like 29th, I think, by the end of the race. I believe in the end it was Ellis Jr. who would go on to win the race ahead of Max Benneke and Mitchell de Jong, with Josh Rogers, I think. Oh no, he was 23rd by the end, Josh Rogers. So it was an event of two halves for him. The following week, they were back in action at Catalunya on the 16th of January. This time, it would be Josh Rogers on pole position again with another victory in race one, with Mitchell de Jong and Dane Warren completing the podium. Sebastian Jobe finished in eighth to get the reverse grid pole and duly dominated the feature race and won from pole with... who was it? Sorry, I'm just having a look at my notes here. Charlie Collins was third? And who won? My notes aren't making much sense here. This is why you don't write your notes whilst looking at one screen and typing on another.
Well, just while you're quickly doing that, it's very interesting that the names that you've mentioned were also taking part in the Porsche Esports Carrera Cup GB.
Yes, many of them did double and even triple duty with another Porsche series on the same day, which is just kind of a bit disgusting.
Yeah, Sebastian
always near the top.
So in the last round at Oulton Park, Sebastian Jobe, sorry, took two pole positions and two victories at Oulton Park. So he's now top of the championship in 92 points. Kevin Ellis Jr. second with 71, and Graham Carroll third with 61 points. The guest driver for that particular race weekend was 2014 Porsche Carrera Cup GB champion Josh Webster.
Oh right, Josh Webster. Cool. Mm,
so that's quite good. I'm actually a little disappointed that Dan Kamish didn't do it.
Yeah, I suppose. But although I guess his ties are more with Honda now,
also he's building up to the Daytona 24 this weekend.
Is he doing the Daytona 24?
He's doing the Daytona 24.
As in the iRacing one?
The iRacing
real...
Daytona 24. Yeah, not ours. Oh, wow. Not ours.
I'm also doing the iRacing Daytona 24. I doubt
guess
I'll be racing
who I'm
in his split.
I'm going to ask you to pester.
I highly doubt I will be in his life.
Dan!
My notes now make sense. So it was, yes, Sebastian Jobe managed to win the second race after starting on reverse grid pole. He would beat Josh Rogers to the flag, with Josh Rogers making his way up from 8th to 2nd, and Charlie Collins, the rookie, finishing in 3rd. There was a bit of controversy, though. Sebastian Jobe, in his post-race interview, said he was mightily peed off after qualifying due to an ongoing exploit that some drivers are using to do with warming up the tyres and qualifying. Essentially what they're doing is, on their way out of the pit lane, they are full throttle and full brake. And that is causing the tyres to heat up massively. And because iRacing's tyre model prioritises heat more than wear, it gives them a... significant performance advantage for that first lap of qualifying. So Sebastian Jobe is one of those people who doesn't do that, and is hoping that iRacing makes some changes to stop that exploit being a thing. That exploit isn't new either. You may remember when the NASCAR series they had with their drivers last year during lockdown, that was a thing then, all the way back then. So that's like April. And it's still a thing. So hopefully iRacing find a way to rectify that. So just to finish off on the Porsche Esports Super Cup Series, with two rounds completed, Mitchell De Jong now leads the title with 124 points, ahead of Josh Rogers on 118. Sebastian Joubert is only seventh in the standings with 72 points.
I'm just watching the last lap of the Alton Park, of the second Alton Park race, and Job and Ellis were side by side from basically the Knickerbrook chicane all the way to the flag.
It's impressive, isn't it?
It's
the quality of racing, particularly in the Porsche series on iRacing, is outstanding.
Yeah.
It's absolutely outstanding. And in my mind, that Porsche is one of the most difficult cars to drive on iRacing. I don't know whether it's just me. I really struggle to drive that car.
I have to say, after having said originally that I found it quite easy to drive, now having a decent wheel and everything, yeah, it's very difficult.
I don't know what it changed, but it
suddenly became extraordinarily difficult, which is gutting, because I absolutely love the car. I really, really do.
It's one of those cars that I would love to be good at, but I know I'm not going to be, so I'll focus on my own
stuff. I really want to give it a go, though, because I would quite like to guest in one of those GB races, because it would just be fun.
Mm.
But I'd hit my back. Which is fine.
Yeah, it's fine. You can just put along and have some fun. Yeah. Every race needs people that finish last.
And they've got past my bogey circuit. I can't drive Alton Park for love nor money, weirdly. Well, I can, but not as quickly as I used to be able to, weirdly.
Interesting.
Anyway, it just shows that as Sims have gotten more and more accurate, I've gotten worse and worse.
Maybe we should just go back to Forza. We were better on Forza. Anyway. Let's move on from that horrible thought. Also in iRacing Esports news, the teams have been announced for the upcoming Coca-Cola iRacing eNASCAR series. A lot of the teams that competed last year are still around, such as Joe Gibbs Racing, Roush Fenway Gaming, Stuart Haas Esports, Williams Esports, the similarly named William Byron Esports, Richmond Esports. I still find it weird that the Richmond Speedway has an esports team, but oh well.
Kligerman's Racing, awesome.
Hamlin Racing. Kligerman Esports is now just Kligerman Esports. The Burton part of Burton and Kligerman Esports is no longer part of that partnership. That sentence was needlessly complicated. But one of the interesting additions, one of them that I didn't really see coming, McLaren. McLaren Shadow are entering the eNASCAR series, seemingly carrying on from McLaren's real world quest for world domination in motorsport by competing in absolutely everything.
Paint the motorsport world orange.
Yeah, papaya.
Papaya, yes, not orange.
That's, they get awfully...
That's somebody else.
Awfully pedantic when it comes to papaya. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I liked that Williams were taking part in this purely because of the strangeness of seeing a Williams NASCAR, and in particular they ran a sort of canon Williams style livery for the throwback race, which was awesome. Really like
that chill blast livery for everything else.
Yes, they are a major part of that team. Also, I believe McLaren Shadow have just announced their two drivers for the series, which is good timing. Alan Bowes and Blake Reynolds will be racing for McLaren in the eNASCAR series, I believe. Do you know what? I can't remember whether these guys have won races before. I believe they have. But again, the NASCAR series is another one that has a ridiculously high standard of competition. Those guys are insane. I don't think we mentioned that clip that went viral of Casey Kerwin's final restart at Homestead last year, where he went from like 20th up to 8th in two laps. And the spotter in particular did a bloody brilliant job. I will try and post the clip on my Twitter, because obviously all of the eNASCAR guys have real spotters. They don't have like crew chief or the iRacing spotter doing it for them. They have people spotting for them, and it is astonishing the amount of information they put across. And yeah, it's really, really entertaining to watch.
I think I was listening to that when the IndyCar series, because they were kind of doing the same sort of thing, I think.
Yeah, a lot of the, I believe some of the IndyCar drivers got eNASCAR spotters over to help them.
I need to get in on that. I really, not the NASCAR thing, although the ARCA series has piqued my interest.
Just be wary that series doesn't have cautions. And it's chaos.
I saw.
Have you been seeing there was a YouTube channel that went viral with an ARCA Break Weekly series where they show the bottom lobby of an ARCA series, and it's just hilarious.
I could probably actually win in those, because I just...
You probably could, because a large part of it is just staying out of trouble. It's just chaos, the amount of drivers, the amount of accidents and wrecks that happen in that series. It's Team i5G on YouTube. They do an ARCA Break Weekly series that comes out, I believe, every Tuesday or something. I definitely recommend watching it, because it is very, very funny. There you go. There's my YouTube recommendation of the week. We should probably carry on, because there's still quite a lot of esports news.
Formula E,
last year made their way into esports competition more properly. Not talking about Racing 3.
One off things that they were doing before.
No. So now they have brought in the Formula E Accelerate series, which is essentially a stupid competition name. With sim racing. It's a bit strange, isn't it? At least it isn't anything about engines, like, you know, Formula E high octane or something like that.
Always dubious when they... So on their website, I think it's time for a new challenge. All electric street racing returns to the virtual world with a fresh new esports series.
Uh-huh.
Let's delve in and see how fresh this is.
So, essentially, there's a qualifier
on
event
the Rotten
where...
Tomatoes scale.
There's a qualifier event where anybody can take part, and then the top 24, I believe, are then able to be picked by the Formula E teams to join them. And each Formula E team can pick up to, I believe, 3 of them to represent them in the upcoming competition, which will be traditional races. So essentially, it's a hot lap qualifier, which allows the teams to then pick from the top guys in that qualifier to race for them. Yeah, it's F1 esports, basically.
Yeah.
It's no surprise as to some of the familiar names that ended up topping this. So the qualifier has already happened. So sadly, if this is the first you're hearing of the series, you're a little bit late, unfortunately. The qualifier ended on January 13th.
Well, gosh,
and I believe the racing will be happening, I think it's February that the racing will start. We haven't heard yet which drivers have been picked, but of the eligible candidates, there are quite a few familiar names, such as F1 Esports drivers Fredrik Rasmussen, Jarno Otmir, the F1 Esports champion from last year, Jonny Tormola. Who else is here that I recognise?
Enzo Benito.
Yeah, he was the Racer Champions Esports champion a couple of years ago, I believe. There was someone else in here that met Martin Stefanko. He was an F1 Esports guy. Yeah, Jernej Simoncic. I'm definitely butchering the pronunciation of that name, but you might remember him from the Race Esports series on our Factor 2. He was quite often near the top of that. So, yeah, it's quite a few familiar suspects in this. Fredrik Rasmussen actually had the fastest time. But to put it into perspective, the top 25 were separated by half a second. The top 3 were separated by half a tenth. So, yeah, the cream, as always, rises to the top, and it's not surprising these guys.
54 covered by a second. That's Brands Hatch qualifying.
It's really impressive. And it's impressive for me to see the likes of Rasmussen and Otmir.
Maybe Murphy tried it as well. I recognise that name from Tora stuff.
It's impressive to see the likes of Rasmussen and Otmir doing well on this, because this competition, well, we probably should have mentioned, is taking place on R Factor 2. And I'm sure you'll agree that the way to be fast in F1 is very different than the way to be fast in R Factor 2 or basically any other sim. Yes. So for them to have mastered both, and Rasmussen, of course, is very quick in iRacing as well. So it's these guys who are sickeningly good at basically every sim that do my nutting.
Yes, but that's because, unlike you and I, they probably don't have jobs yet.
No, this is their job.
Yeah, or partners.
Yeah, and their skill means that they can have this as their job, and it all credit to them for.
I will never forget when I think it was when I was the 2017 Le Mans 24 program. They had a piece in there on the esports stuff, and they were talking to, I can't remember the name of the French team that was very big back then.
It wasn't Vitality.
No. Forza. Anyway.
Oh, Forza.
And they were talking to us. Oh yes. We're practicing like 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Oh. Great. No school. No college. No jobs. No. What'd you do? Yeah.
I'm very envious of them because I would love to be in a position where I could make that my job.
Obviously, these guys
have the skill to be able to do that as well. Absolutely. So full credit to them for doing that.
Mm. Don't get me wrong. I'm not coming out of this from a making fun of them point of view. I'm coming out of this from pure jealousy.
It's one of those things. I think I'm slightly on the edge of this seeming like an alien concept that you can make a career out of sim racing and all of that, be it as a content creator or as a competitor. Yeah. But that, I know that's the thing that a lot of people struggle with, the fact that you can seemingly have a career out of gaming. And I think that's just a testament to how sim racing and gaming as a whole have come on leaps and bounds to being such a profitable business.
It is.
Like the money in esports is massive, especially now, especially after last year.
Certainly getting that way. Right, in the last 10 minutes, we have more news.
Yes, a little bit of news from Gran Turismo on their esports series. Polyphony Digital have confirmed that the FIA Gran Turismo Championships will return this year. Seemingly unsurprising, because that series is very well regarded within the Gran Turismo and sim racing community. I need to watch more of it, because whenever I see clips of it, the racing is outstanding.
I have to admit that what I've watched, I've really enjoyed. And now that I have 4 of the Gran Turismo circuits on Assetto Corsa, I'm enjoying it even more.
See, one thing, just briefly before we get back on topic again, Gran Turismo's fictional circuits are fantastic. They have Forza beat in terms of fictional tracks. Like, Bernice Alps in Forza, for example, should be committed to a fire. I can't stand it. They had a rivals event on Forza around Bernice Alps in a Ford Focus RS, and I gave it a go, and that was 10 minutes of my life that I really wish I could get back. But anyway, Gran Turismo. It's not yet known as to whether the World Championship will be returning to its in-person format with the World Tour, or whether they will have to go for online only because of the ongoing pandemic and everything. I hope they can get back to doing in-person, because I love one of the great draws to the Gran Turismo series is when you see the clips and you hear the crowd in the background cheering. It's really cool. I love the way that they've done that. And I think Gran Turismo, in terms of in-person esports sim racing events,
yeah,
Gran Turismo are the best at it at the moment. They really have a great package there with the Gran Turismo World Championships. We don't know when the series will be starting yet, but we know that it is coming. So, yeah, something to look forward to.
Very cool indeed. And just to point out, you can also, not apart from the older circuits, like Midfield Raceway and Apricot Hill and various other ones, you can actually get some of the GT Sport circuits for Assetto Corsa as well. Autodromo Lego Maggiore from Gran Turismo.
That's Sport. A really good one. I didn't actually know that was available for AC. I'm going to have to get that.
It is. It's on our other sources are available, but we get them from race department.
Yeah, oh, I'm going to have to look at that. I must say, just very briefly, Gran Turismo is that there were rumours of that potentially making its way to PC at some point. I doubt that that will happen, but I would love to see it.
Yeah,
because Gran Turismo is one of... If I had to get a console now, bearing in mind I'm on PC, I would get a PlayStation for the likes of Gran Turismo and probably that Spider-Man game. Those are the only two things.
I'm sure we just. I would get the discless PlayStation.
Yeah.
For Gran Turismo. And I would get the Series X for my media stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I've thought this through. Right.
And the discless version of the PlayStation is quite relatively affordable in terms of, you know, consoles and PCs.
It's more affordable, so. unlike the differences in the Xbox, is exactly the same power.
Yeah, it's just a lack of a disc.
Yeah, which actually I'm not massively against.
Hung up on keeping discs for a long time, but now I've moved to PC, I'm just like, oh, well, it's just so much easier like this.
And you're the one who had the cheek to take the mick out of me for still having icons on my desktop.
I'm part of the no icons on desktop gang, and you can't convince me otherwise, although I've just gone to my desktop and there are two icons on there. Go away!
As long as it's not malware.
The start menu is there for a reason.
Yeah, as long as it's not malware, it doesn't matter.
No, true.
Right, should we quickly... We've got a bit of F1 eSports in the last 5 minutes. We've got a little bit of F1 eSports to cover, mate, including one big one, Brendan Lee. Quite a sizable bit of change there for him.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming. Brendan Lee has announced that he will be moving to Ferrari for the upcoming F1 esports series, in what is one of the best lineups on the grid, if not the best lineup. Brendan Lee will be partnering David Tenitsa, who you may remember won the 2019 F1 esports championship. With the FDA esports team, the Ferrari Driver Academy esports team, they have three of the four F1 esports championships, with Jarno Otmir being the only driver who has won a championship that isn't racing for FDA esports. So Brendan Lee's been a bit off the pace for the last two seasons, I would say, compared to his dominant performance in the two championships that he won. He started to come back on song a little bit toward the end of last year, so it'll be interesting to see if his move to FDA revitalizes him and sees him carry on that form. He is a bloody brilliant esports driver, Brendan Lee. And
a nice chap as well.
He is. It'll be very interesting to see how he gets on with Tenitsa, because that is one hell of a pairing.
That's a power pairing right there.
That is, absolutely. And F1 esports is another series that has a very high quality. There's a theme here. Nine times out of ten, the esports series out there at the moment, the competition is just stacked with so many fantastic drivers. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully with the F1 2021 esports series, hopefully the F1 2021 game, which I assume this will be taking place on, will carry with it some improvements to the multiplayer side, which make it a more broadcastable package, because it was a bit lackluster compared to its competitors.
Yes, I love seeing cars floating over curves weirdly.
And yeah. And the sound glitches that are still in the game on replay and spectator cameras. It's just you would have thought with such
plane not being able to connect.
Yeah, it's issues that have been around for several iterations of the game now, and you would have thought with them potentially having the largest platform for their esports series, you would have thought they would put more effort into making it look better and be better for the competitors and the spectators for that matter. On a similar note, one of the major series that used F1 2020 last year, it was 2019 last year, because the virtual Grand Prix series happened before F1 2020 came out. But yes, the virtual Grand Prix series will be returning in 2021 for three races prior to the start of the real Formula One World Championship. You might remember last year, the virtual Grand Prix series was the series where former Formula One drivers went up against sim racing influencers and celebrities, etc. And it was one of the more popular events of the lockdown period. It was really great to see these drivers in particular, you know, the likes of Norris and Leclerc streaming, and there are many, many clips of fantastic moments of their streams. It's not yet confirmed who will be taking part in these in the 2021 virtual Grand Prix series, though I imagine the likes of Norris and Leclerc are fairly likely given their streaming popularity. There will be three virtual Grand Prix that will be starting from January 31st and then will continue on February 7th and February 14th. We don't know what tracks they'll be at yet, although the promo images seem to be at the Red Bull Ring, so I imagine that will be one of them. And yeah, we don't know who else is going to be there yet. So apparently each of the three events has a slight change to the way it's run. Apparently there's two stages where there's a pro gamer race off with one F1 esports driver per team running a 5-lap sprint race, etc. And then there's the feature race, which is probably the what they did last year. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do there. And I, for one, will be watching because, yeah, it should be as entertaining as it was last year.
Very, very cool. Great to see that the official esports series haven't suddenly disappeared now that we're into a new year. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been the first show for Simcast of 2021. Where did that time go?
That was a lot to cover.
That was a bit scary. And we didn't even get to mention that Soul 2.0 has come out for Assetto Corsa.
Yes, that's very
get
good.
We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks because both of us have had some time to mess around with it. I've been Matt Hunter. Jordan has been... It's not even suddenly anymore, is it? Consistently Jordan.
Consistently Jordan.
Next week, you'll be joined by the Americans for their first leg of Simcast. Ready the bingo cards for how many times they say the previous name of the show.
Hey, just to not say it once.
We didn't, did we? And we're not going to now. Thank you ever so much for listening, everyone. See you in a couple of weeks. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast, wherever you get your podcasts.